Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty remarkable that Greenberg, if you've ever met Neil Greenberg, not the most physically imposing fella. He might know jiu-jitsu or something. I don't know. He might be able to throw you in a pretzel. But he has the absolute hardest walk-up song of all the B. Mitch and Finley regulars. Hello, Greenberg. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you.
Do you know jiu-jitsu?
Actually, I do. When I was in New York, I used to take about 5 jiu-jitsu classes a week.
Wow.
I was into it pretty much.
So hardcore.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu. This was before Brazilian jiu-jitsu really took off. But, yeah, regular jiu-jitsu I did for quite a bit.
I got to be honest, I had no idea, but I meant that.
I actually learned like actual street fighting when I was a kid, when I was like a teenager.
You got in a bunch of street fights, or like you learned street fighting?
Both. I used to fight quite a bit growing up.
Wow.
So the theme song is fitting then.
I've been in a lot of scraps.
Damn. All right. So don't mess with Greenberg. That's what we learned today. My fighting days are over. I'm too old. I could throw a mean club punch was probably like the best. My best fighting attribute was the ability to just catch somebody. Anyway, Greenberg, now that we've gone down that road and I've learned you're a ninja, let's get down to business, man. I specifically told Landfill to make sure we had you on this week, even though it's Thursday and not Wednesday, because you deserve a victory lap. I think you were telling us this in like July and August, that you thought there was a good chance Washington outperforms everybody's expectations, and I hope you made some cash on it.
Yeah, it was a good year for me, for Washington, in terms of outlook. I'd like to think I played a small part in Brian Mitchell wearing a tutu, because I had tweeted a chart that said like the high end for them was 11 wins. Before the season started, and everyone thought I was a little bit silly. But, there was just a lot of things that the organization was doing right, and I think there was just way too much emphasis put on the pass regime, which really had nothing to do with what was happening going forward.
You look at this team going into the playoffs, 3 teams they could possibly face right now. Philadelphia, if they were to drop back to the 7 seed, the Rams or the Buccaneers, if they remain the 6 seed. Which matchup do you think is most favorable for Washington?
Probably anybody but Philadelphia. I mean, I think the point spreads would reflect that they were pretty closely matched to Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, probably a 1 or 2 point spread in the home team's favor there. I think Philadelphia would be the only like big lopsided point spread that we would see. I think Washington would be fine in that matchup. I'm not saying that they would be favored to win, but I think that they could, just as they showed against Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, that they can, they can play with the teams that are really good. But obviously avoiding Philadelphia, Detroit in the first round is probably the goal. So I think Los Angeles is probably their best matchup in terms of overall strength. But Tampa Bay, and I said this on the show, like Tampa Bay had a really easy schedule coming into the playoffs. So I don't know if I would be particularly intimidated by Tampa Bay either. So as long as they avoid Philadelphia, I think it's probably a good outlook for them.
I think it's funny. A lot of these guys disagree with me. If I'm calling the shots, and obviously I'm not, I'd prefer playing Tampa over L.A. I think clearly you don't want to have to play Philly. And if you have to, fine. Every team you play in the playoffs is going to be good. So it's not like you like can dodge everybody and get to play St. Francis, But I think maybe it's just being there week one and knowing – maybe it's a symptom of being close to this team and the organization. But I just know how different and how much better – this entire team is from week one, and I'd love to see them get another crack at that.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's two timelines here, right? There's a timeline where Washington makes the playoffs and everyone's happy, and then there's a timeline that they win a playoff game, and then expectations start to get a little goofy. But I think winning a playoff game this year would be an absolutely huge success story for this organization. I mean, it's already a
Hell
success
yeah.
story. But look, you got to play the teams that are in front of you, and you know, in order to reach the ultimate goal, you're gonna have to get through Philadelphia and or Detroit at some point. But the first step is to win that initial game, and you know, obviously playing against like either the Rams or Tampa Bay makes it easier. I think if Washington is in those, it has a first round matchup between one of those two teams, I think they move on. I don't know how much further they get past that, but I think this team is more than capable of winning a game in the playoffs. They have the cheat code under center in Jaden Daniels in terms of his ability to pass or run the ball. I think that that's underestimated to some degree, as much as we can underestimate that. So I feel pretty confident for Washington to at least move on one round.
I mean, you mentioned Jaden there. I thought he's been really impressive, specifically the last 2 weeks. But they have had really minimal in the run game, aside from maybe the second half last week. But it's now like a 7-week sample size where over that course of time, the run game really hasn't been as effective as it was earlier in the season. How important is it to get that back? Or is it something where you think they can still win some football games with the way that Five is playing and maybe move on a couple of rounds or at least win the wild card round, even if they're not able to get an efficient run game back?
Yeah, I think we have to at this point take it one round at a time in the playoffs, not knowing who the matchup is. But I think Jaden Daniels as being the run game is fine. I think the run game is overrated in the NFL this season because of what we've seen from like Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. There was a lot of talk early on in the season that like running backs are back and the rushing game is back, etc. Like, you have to win or at least start playing with the lead in order to rush the football the way that you want to rush the football. I think what Daniels gives, obviously, is the uncertainty for the defense, right? Like, what are you, as a defense, like, can you recognize what Washington's going to do? And if not, you know, can you make the adjustments quick enough to stop it? And, you know, is Jaden passing? Is he rushing? Like, there's just so many things that the defense has to take into account now with this Washington offense, and I think that's why it's been so efficient. I don't think anything needs to change. I mean, if they get some rushing help, that's great. They've obviously shown that they can win games with Jaden Daniels doing what he needs to do. So I think that, you know, the formula is fine. It just comes down to, I'd like to see them not always have to play catch-up. Like, that to me is a bigger thing. Like, can Washington get out to an early lead and then hold that lead and just play efficient football on offense like they have all season?
Yeah, you're totally right there. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here. You can follow Neil at N Greenberg on Twitter and Instagram, sports writer for the Washington Post, jiu-jitsu expert. What do you make of the Dallas game specifically? Dallas did just beat them, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, and now it's down there. Washington's a 5-point favorite on the road. Dallas looked really good against the Bucs 2 weeks ago, looked really terrible against the Eagles. What do you make of this game? Because maybe it's silly. I think it's really important for them to get one back against Dallas.
Yeah, I think you always want to go into the playoffs on a high note, right? You want to stay healthy first and foremost. If you can avenge that loss against Dallas, I mean, that would certainly help morale. It's certainly better than talking about, you know, limping into the playoffs or however it could be coached in the narrative if they lose. I mean, this game is largely meaningless. Like I said, I think getting everyone out of the game healthy is the absolute number one thing that you want to do. If you can beat Dallas in Dallas, that's great. But just get out of there healthy, get ready. You have bigger fish to fry than avenging a, you know, week 12 loss against Dallas when, you know, you have a chance to win your first playoff game in I don't know how many years. So I think, you know, Washington is obviously the better team. They should win this game. They should have won the last Dallas game, I think. So just play solid football, stay healthy, and just, you know, keep your eyes on the bigger picture, both as from a fan perspective, and obviously I'm sure that's what, you know, the coaching staff is looking at.
Yeah, dude, I agree. It's funny. You might actually know this, Greenberg. Are there Mariota props available? Like, I will not be shocked or mad if we see some Marcus in the second half of this thing, depending on game flow and if it's a, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a two-touchdown.
Well, yeah,
like,
your Mariota prop is the under on Jaden Daniels' attempts, right? Like, that's
true.
That's
I want 0.5 pass attempts for Mariota, and I want to bang him.
I'm sure you could find that somewhere. You may even be able to find, like, a touchdown prop for him. I don't think that necessarily would surprise me all that much. But there's nothing on Mariota. There's actually no Jaden Daniels prop either right now. My guess is because of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, how certain are we that he's going to play the whole game? I don't know if we'll know that until we know what the halftime score is. But, yeah, it's an interesting – there's a lot of interesting individual props this week for the last week of the season.
It was kind of a discussion this past week where people were talking about it on national media, looking at what happened with Stroud last year and how good he was, and we thought it was going to be an anomaly. No one was ever going to touch that sort of rookie season for a long time, and then a year later you have what Jaden has done. How impressive has he been, and how do you think it stacks up with Stroud's season last year?
I think Jaden Daniels has been very impressive. I made an argument that he should deserve MVP consideration early on in the season because of the way he was playing. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have since kind of distanced themselves just based on, like, on their team success and also individual success. So I'm not quite sure he's there anymore. But, you know, anytime you're talking about a rookie being an MVP, even a fringe MVP candidate, I think that that's strong. I think this is year one, and year one is obviously ahead of schedule. Let's see what happens in year two, year three, before we can make, like, direct comparisons to C.J. Stroud. But, I mean, this is as phenomenal of a rookie season as you can possibly hope to get on a number of different angles, right? Number one, he was a number two overall pick, lived up to expectations. Everyone in the media is talking about him. He's on highlights every week. He's winning Rookie of the Week awards. And I don't really care, like, how that's tabulated. It means that there is so much overwhelming interest in him winning the award that's the takeaway, right? Like, we can debate the merits of it, but, you know, people see him as the best rookie this season. And that's just not something that this organization has had, right? Like, it hasn't had the excitement factor around it in years, right? I mean, like, there's been nothing. The negative has overwhelmed the positive, you know, previously and now. That's completely flipped. Obviously, it's because Jaden Daniels is at the center of it. Just a phenomenal rookie year, and I would say, you know, from that aspect alone, it's probably better than Stroud's, only because the national hype is so big around Daniels this season.
If you look at Stroud from year one to year two, I know you're big into the numbers and some of those things. What is the issue there? Is it the offensive line? Has Stroud lost some of that efficiency? Just looking ahead, obviously you don't want to get ahead of yourself. You got the playoffs still ahead for Jaden, but going from year one to year two, how does Washington make sure that Daniels doesn't have a similar kind of fall off in year two?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had some more interceptions. I mean, his interception count doubled. You know, that's certainly a concern. It's concerned in, like, the macro sense, but, you know, he doesn't really have, like, that much control over some of those. I mean, you look at some of the advanced metrics, and they're not a huge drop-off. I mean, he's had some drop-off in, like, his Pro Football Focus grade, but I wouldn't say it's, like, anything alarming to the point where, you know, we have to write these "What's Wrong with Stroud" think pieces. Even his turnover-worthy plays have been kind of consistent. I think some of it's bad luck. I think some of it is, you know, maybe that sometimes when these guys play so well in year one, there's really no place for them to go in year two, right? I mean, you look at, you know, he had a league low interception rate last year. You know, we typically see that even out the following year. So I just think it's just a little bit of a blip. I mean, I think I couldn't tell you who's going to have the better career necessarily, but I think Stroud has been the victim of some bad luck. And, you know, we're probably talking about this miraculous turnaround for him next season when, you know, everything, all the underlying numbers still look the same.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg, sports writer, Washington Post, stats, analytics, fantasy, betting, all that stuff. Greenberg, who's your NFL MVP?
That's a great question. I've been trying to figure that out. I think that it's, for me, analytically, it's too close to call between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I think anyone that tells you like they have a definitive answer to that is just letting their own narratives like kind of guide them. I mean, it comes down to what do you define the word valuable to mean? Is it the best player on the best team? Is it the player having the best offensive season? Is it the player that like most directly contributing to wins? And then how do you define that? So that for me though, I think it's Lamar Jackson only because I think he's been more consistent than Allen during the whole course of the year.
His numbers are just bananas.
But I can't talk crazy anybody out of Josh Allen either. Like, there's nothing for me analytically to say, you know, Josh Allen shouldn't be the MVP because of this. There's so much context around both of their performances in terms of their, you know, in terms of their, like, supporting cast, et cetera. Like, there's no clear cut. I'd be happy if either one of them won, and I couldn't talk you out of the other if I want to. But for me, it's Lamar Jackson by a little bit. But again, if you wanted to say it's Josh Allen, I mean, I'm not going to jujitsu you for it.
If the Bengals find a way, if the Bengals find a way in, does Joe Burrow re-enter that conversation?
You know, yeah, I think
he should be in it regardless.
Goff are both like these two guys that are probably should be in the mix, but we don't talk about them. And again, it comes down to like, what's your narrative story, or like what is it that's important to you when it comes to, you know, looking at an MVP candidate? Is it, you know, overwhelming wins? Is it, you know, supporting cast? Is it, like, clutch play? Like, you know, there's so many different things that go into it. You know, yeah, I think that you can absolutely make a case. And I wouldn't be surprised if some local voters, like, give their guys votes because I think it's justified, right? Like, we've seen some votes get cast for access reasons, or at least my interpretation of that, like to keep goodwill going. But I do think that, you know, you can make a legitimate case for a lot of players in this mix. So yeah, I mean, it's tough, but it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think that they'll
win. Do you get a vote?
I'm not allowed to vote. Washington Post.
Oh, that's a Post thing,
right? Vote for end of season awards. I don't get a vote, but I wouldn't be able to vote even if I did.
The Washington Post, the newspaper of my life, I think that's a dumb rule. Sorry. But regardless, I think Lamar's had the best season outside. I think Burrow's had the best season.
Yeah.
I think they got to fire that Bengals coach. How he handled the end of the Denver game is some of the worst time ever seen. And
yeah,
you've got a ball club there that's going to have, at least statistically, the best quarterback in the NFL, the best receiver in the NFL, and the sack leader in the NFL, and you're not going to make the playoffs. Like, something got to give here, brother. Greenberg, I always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And also, I need a VIP pass for the Tally-Ho event.
Okay, I think we can make that happen.
All right.
Cluster Buster, if you're listening, let's get Greenberg a pass. You live out that way now, right?
I am very close.
Okay.
I'm not going to dox myself, but I'm close.
Yeah, don't dox yourself. But, yeah, dude, you're in. Now, Neil, this may shock you. I'm not very good at remembering things. So if possible, maybe just shoot me a text, a reminder that week, but I'll make sure it happens.
Or we can have a jiu-jitsu instruction with Neil Greenberg.
Yeah, I'll come flying in ninja style through the window.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, Greenberg. We'll get you on the list.
All right. Happy New Year to everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's our boy Neil Greenberg. Greenberg's talking about wanting to come to the Tally Ho event. The event is 106.7 The Fan Live. You can join all of us for a special live show. The Junks, me and B, Grant and Danny. We will shed our FCC restrictions for a totally uncensored discussion of DC sports. Toby, off the record, I gotta maintain I got to behave myself. They want me to shed my restrictions, get a little dangerous.
There's still going to be some cameras.
It should be fun. Yo, apparently there's going to be special guests. Maybe one of them is Neil Greenberg. It should be a blast. I think it's the week before the Super Bowl, January 31st. Hang out with all of us for a night of sports, laughs, fun. Tickets are on sale now at tallyhotheater.com. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.